The Nick Hanley Show.
It was December 24th on Hollis in the dark, and what I can't even see right now, when a man chilling with his dog in the park, I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog and said, "Oh, it's an ill reindeer." My gosh, this is terrible.
AM 590, ESPN Omaha.
All right, final hour of the Nick Hanley Show here at the Baylor Ballpark in Waco, Texas. TJ Henning back in our Buffalo Wings and Rings studio in Omaha. The Nebraska baseball season opener, and even with some contention, college baseball opening day. We had a little, I wouldn't call it Twitter troll, but somebody who was trying to be exact on, wait, this isn't opening day for college baseball because I guess there was a game earlier in the week. But do you call when Major League Baseball used to have the Sunday night game and then everybody else would start on Monday? Did you call that opening day? No, you said opening night or whatever. It's, you know, lighten up, Francis. It's opening day because it's the first full day of Division I baseball. Happening tonight for Nebraska taking on Baylor. 6:32 is your start. Greg and I will be with you right after the show, so keep it here. And if you're wondering about the baseball schedule on AM 590, it'll be just tonight because we have men's basketball tomorrow. We've got women's basketball on Sunday, but you can always check out the Huskers app. That's free. Huskers.com. You can listen to it as well. So we will have those games. And remember, if you're looking at the old schedule, game time tomorrow has been moved up to 2 o'clock due to Baylor taking on West Virginia in basketball at 3. Which is ticking TJ off because it's on ESPN Plus. That is the only top 25 matchup tomorrow. Actually, the entire weekend, I believe. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah.
Gotta double check, but
yeah. There's some sneaky games there, you know. You mentioned the Rutgers-Illinois game.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Penn State has just got number 13 next to him just blows my mind. So, yes, that's what we have going on. So, again, keep it here. AM 590 ESPN Omaha for Husker baseball tonight. So, TJ, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Bruncey earlier. With the Nebraska basketball losing streak at 9, it was a great effort against Maryland. They damn near pulled that thing off. Can they put it all together and just get out of that funk? Can it happen, or better yet, will it happen, in your expert opinion?
It definitely could happen. I mentioned early in the first segment today that I thought their best two chances to get a win the rest of the season were home Wisconsin and home Northwestern on Senior Day. So this is one of those games. Again, Wisconsin now without Kobe King, who was a big part of their team. And I think just saying Nebraska matches up pretty decently well against Wisconsin. Now, again, Wisconsin has a lot more to play for right now than Nebraska. Nebraska having lost 9 in a row. And, again, DeShawn Burke may not still be able to go tomorrow. Kenneth Cheatham, although he played phenomenally on that bad calf, he still got the bad calf. It could happen, but if I'm a betting man, I wouldn't bet. Although, you know,
you're not fully committed on this. You're talking yourself, like, into it and then out of it.
For sure.
Just give me a damn answer.
Just tell us what happened.
Today, Junior.
Good teams cover, or good teams win, great teams cover. Nebraska in their last 10 games, 6-4 against the spread. So I would take Nebraska in that. How about that?
Okay. All right. So you're going to play a little bit more of the line.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you going to actually take that ticket somewhere?
No.
Okay.
I'm just advising the fans out there what's happened the last 10 games.
No. I like it. Are you applying analytics, or are you just going on heart? They don't know your heart. As Matthew McConaughey and We Are Marshall, right?
That's true.
That was it. Yeah. They don't know your heart. It's got to happen for them. We were talking about this going to the Maryland game. Showing signs of just feeling that slump, feeling that losing streak, where games were starting to get away from them a little bit earlier. Even the games that they lost early in the season, with the exception of, you know, a couple of head scratchers, I mean, there was kind of some eyebrow-raising moments where how competitive they were, and even pulling off the occasional upset here and there. Now, Purdue didn't turn out to be maybe as good of a team as we thought when they originally won that game, what, back in, was that December, late December? Early December?
Yep.
That was that weekend where they lost to Indiana in overtime and then they beat Purdue at home. But, I mean, that was still a good win. You get that win against Iowa. I think they caught Iowa at a good time and unfortunately had to play them at maybe not the best time recently, but it just felt like this team is starting to kind of, you know, fight it a little bit. But the effort against Maryland, it at least shows you that they're still, you know, cliche, whatever, they're still swinging. And I just hope that, you know, given an afternoon game at home on a Saturday, I'm sure the place will be banged out. I know people are still coming out. They're supporting this team. They believe in what Fred Hoiberg is going to deliver at Nebraska.
Hondo Carpenter sure does.
Heck yeah. You heard Hondo say that. He's talking to you, Nebraska fan. Get out there and support them. No, that's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. It's just you feel like, I mean, they could finish the season losing even more games, but I just feel like at some point they've got to break through this thing. It just has to happen. I think it happens tomorrow. I'm gonna call my shot. TJ, okay. You're non-committal.
Yeah, I'm waffling. That's for sure.
I'm committing to this thing. I think Nebraska gets it done tomorrow. Now, when I talk to you on Monday and I'm dead wrong, that's fine.
Yeah, we're in the business of being wrong, right?
You can make fun of me all you want. I won't apologize about it. But, yeah, so it's just a team that is desperate. They need that win. They need to get just something to feel good about. I don't think that it's something that is imperative for the future of the program because we know so many things are going to look different next year. But just for the guys that are continuing to go through this thing every day, they're putting in the work, they're putting in the film study, they're, you know, putting in the work in the classroom, I mean, all those things from a student athlete, and you're going through that kind of a spell, and you've been close. Like at some point, it's going to snap. I just feel like tomorrow gives you the best opportunity to do so. Because who do they have after Wisconsin?
I believe it's Michigan State.
that's a desperate team right now. That's a pissed off team right now. Michigan State not being in the top 25 when they were preseason number one. And it's not like they're in jeopardy of missing the tournament, but that's a team that needs to start feeling good about themselves, period. And that will be a game also at Pinnacle Bank Arena. What if they got Wisconsin and pulled off the win again? Okay, now I'm just getting way ahead of myself. I just am. I can't help that. All right, it's a team that is not in desperation mode, but a team that all of a sudden is right there in the thick of it with the Big East regular season title in reach. The Creighton Blue Jays. They will take on DePaul tomorrow night, coming off of that big win on the road against Seton Hall. Had a chance to catch up with head coach Craig McDermott. We'll give that to you coming up next here at AM 590. All right, just around the corner, we will be joining TJ and Bounce as I'll be getting off the air, thank goodness, right, as we get ready for Nebraska baseball, taking on Baylor tonight right here on AM 590. Bouncing around coming up, Bounce of Channel 94.1. But as the guys get into what's on tap, a big home game tomorrow night for the Blue Jays taking on DePaul at 6:30. Happy to be joined on the AM 590 hotline with head coach Greg McDermott. And, Coach, another huge road win, not just on the road, but in Big East play, too, beating Seton Hall the other night, 87-82. You guys are now two games out of first in the Big East race. But it, as we've seen in this conference, I know it's probably not necessarily kind of eyeing the leader right now, but just kind of continuing to stay on top of your guys' game. But when you just kind of take in that game the other night against Seton Hall, it just seemed like it was such a back-and-forth game, and everything that Seton Hall tried to do to even get any kind of run, you guys defensively would have the answer, but also offensively a lot of big plays. What was just kind of the overall big takeaway from this one?
Well, it was a great college basketball game, Nick, and really had a feel of a postseason game. And, you know, both offenses, were really good. And, you know, fortunately for us, when Seton Hall was able to make a run, we were able to answer. Both with some stops and some runs on offense of our own. So really proud of our guys and the way that they prepared for that game. And obviously when the lights came on, they were ready to compete.
And a lot of people were talking about the hustle play from Damian Jefferson there, kind of in the waning moments. It just seemed kind of symbolic of the effort, too. So not just like, as you mentioned, a tremendous college basketball game. It looked like a tournament game, as you pointed out. But also just the little things that you guys seem to do, always kind of matching any kind of intensity. Is that what you've kind of come to expect from this group?
Well, our guys have really bought into that part of it. Obviously, you know, it goes without saying, it's been well documented that we're undersized. So, you know, we have to find other ways to be successful. And that play by DJ was just an example of, you know, what it's going to take for us to beat good teams home or away in this league, because the conference is so good. But, you know, that play will be one that will live in our film rooms for years to come as to an example of how you need to play the game and what a difference that kind of effort can make.
You mentioned sort of the undersized part of this team, but what do you take away? You got a guy like Denzel Mahoney who is just playing so much bigger than he really is physically in a game like that, where there is some height advantage for Seton Hall, where, again, big-time atmosphere, but you have that smaller lineup that really seemed to kind of thrive and get that kind of bench production. What does that kind of say about Mahoney and kind of this lineup going forward?
Well, we're fortunate that, you know, Denzel provides a really difficult matchup on the offensive end when we're on offense, when he's playing, when we go with that small lineup. But yet he's strong enough and physical enough and long enough that he can guard those positions on the other end. And I don't think in the perfect world for Denzel, he doesn't wake up in the morning wishing that he could guard someone 7 foot. That's really not what he wants to do. But obviously with the lineup that we have right now, we've been forced into that, and he's done a terrific job. He's bought into the role that we've asked him to play, along with everybody else on our team, you know, from the guys that don't play that are preparing us every day on the scout team and the seven or eight guys that get on the floor. They've all really embrace the role that we as a coaching staff have asked them to play. And they're a very connected group right now, and hopefully we can keep that going the last six games.
Before the game, you talked about how you don't really stop Miles Powell. He's one of the best players in college basketball, yet you guys did about as good of a job of stopping him that any team has this year. What was sort of the plan going in, and what did you kind of see as it played out?
Well, it started with Tyshawn Alexander, who, you know, had the responsibility to chase him around and be there on the catch and make his life difficult. And I thought Tyshawn did a terrific job of that. But, you know, we were also very aggressive on ball screens. When he came off ball screens, we jumped him on some screens and made him, you know, give up the basketball and get it out of his hands. So, you know, the guys really followed the plan very well. And, you know, you hope that you can keep him in check. You know, he's a hard guy to keep in check because he's constantly on the move and he has incredible range. But, you know, Tyshawn did a terrific job when he was on him. When he was out of the game, Marcus slid over there and did a good job on him as well. But, the team defense aspect was on point as well.
Talking again to Creighton head men's basketball coach Greg McDermott, the Jays taking on DePaul tomorrow night at CHI Health Center at 6:30. You know, when you do look at the way that game played out and kind of comparing it also to that impressive road win against Villanova, I was talking about this on the show yesterday. I just feel like, not to fast forward too much into the NCAA tournament, but when you can get wins like that in those types of environment away from the comforts of your own home, do you feel like once you do get to that point, that's something that can definitely serve this team well?
Well, you certainly hope you can draw back on those experiences, you know, when you get down the line and you're playing in an NCAA tournament situation. But, you know, we've got guys that believe in one another, and we've played in some difficult environments this year, you know, going all the way back to non-conference, playing at Arizona State before Christmas. So, you know, those are games that you schedule, number one, a non-conference game to help you prepare for Big East play when you go on the road, but also moving forward to postseason play, you hope that those experiences are good for you and you learn from them. You know, our guys had to stick together at Seton Hall. It was a great crowd. It was an incredible environment. We found a way to get it done, and I think that'll serve us well moving forward.
You know, listen to Marcus Zagorowski talk after the game, too. Gave a lot of praise to Mitch Bellock as far as not showing up in the actual scoring column, but doing a lot of other things that kind of seem to open things up both offensively and defensively. You know, when you do see a guy like that you count on offensively, you know, get shut out from that standpoint, clearly there's things that aren't on the stat sheet that were very important in that game.
Yeah, you know, Mitch plays the game the right way. And, you know, defensively, you ask a lot out of him. We put him in help situations a lot, and he cleans up some of our mistakes. But, you know, just the threat of him out there, on the offensive end and what they have to do to make sure he doesn't get a catch and how far that stretches the defense. Creates things for his teammates. And, you know, we're fortunate that Mitch is a guy that he doesn't pout. He doesn't sulk if he's not getting shots or not making shots. He just plays the game the right way, and he does what he can to put his teammates in a spot to be successful. And it's being that kind of a teammate that makes Mitch Balick special, and frankly, it is permeated through our team.
You guys really liked the work that the guys put in after the win against Villanova on the road. You come out another tough road game against Providence, don't get the result. This time around, you get another big win, very emotional win. Anything change from the guys in preparation for this next one? Or is everything just kind of even keel, same thing, and you feel good about the way this team is mentally going into tomorrow night?
When you're playing in a league like the one we're playing in this year where everybody's good, you can't spend much time celebrating your victories, and you also can't spend much time feeling sorry for yourself if you lose one. Because the reality of it is they're all tough, and you're going to win some and you're going to lose some. So you have to get up the next morning and flip the page and get ready for the next one. And, you know, our preparation was good for Providence. We didn't shoot the basketball well. And, you know, we ran into a team that made 8 out of 10 three-point shots in the second half. And I don't care who it is in this league. If somebody makes 8 out of 10, then from the three in the second half, you're probably losing that game. So you can't put too much into victory. You can't put too much into a loss. Our guys were focused yesterday. We had a mental practice yesterday, and today we'll get after it. And, you know, hopefully we'll put our best foot forward and have a great crowd to support us tomorrow night.
DePaul, the last time you guys saw them, and this is a team that really did have a really solid start to the season. When you look at some of the challenges that they'll bring in tomorrow night, what are you kind of expecting this time around?
Well, they're as long and athletic as they've been in the league, Nick. And, you know, they probably have the, you know, from an NBA perspective, Paul Reed is probably going to be as sought after as anybody in our league from an NBA standpoint. He's got length and athleticism and, you know, can shoot the basketball. But their front line is extremely athletic. They're very long. They're very disruptive defensively. And then Charlie Boers did a good job at the point guard spot. And, you know, Coleman Lands at the two guard is a guy that can, you know, he can make 5 or 6 threes if you lose him. And so, you know, we have to be on point with what we're doing defensively. We have to get them off the glass. They're very aggressive in attacking the offensive glass. And they're one of the top 25 teams in the country in forcing turnovers. So, like our last home game against the St. John's team that's going to get after you and try to turn you over, we've got to really be concentrating on taking care of the ball. And you know, ball security is going to be key to winning this game tomorrow night. And I think our guys understand that.
And you talk about how these guys are pretty self-aware of the environment in the Big East, too. A huge week next week on top of that game tomorrow night. You got the conversations again around this team, not necessarily from you, but around this team that, you know, people are now looking at, once again, at Creighton saying, hey, this could be a Big East regular season title team. You feel like these guys are able to compartmentalize that and they're able to kind of take it just one day at a time, and that's sort of coming from the top with you guys?
Well, you hope so. And, you know, we addressed it right after the game against Seton Hall that, you know, you have to – there's a reason we've been successful, and we've really locked into the process, and we have to stay married to the process, you know, the rest of the way. And, you know, you're going to go back to campus. People are going to pat you on the back and tell you what a great win that was. And I don't – you know, that's okay. That, you know, enjoy that part of it, but understand when we hit the practice floor, when we get in the film room, we have to approach it like we do every other game. And that's the way we're going to be successful because we lack some size and length. Our execution is very, very important, probably more important than some other teams that can make up for some things because they're a little bit more athletic or a little bit longer. So I think our guys understand what it takes for us to be successful, and I'm hopeful we'll be on point tomorrow night.
Yeah, crazy to think, too, Coach Lasley, I mean, 2 weeks left really in the regular season before we get into – tournament play, and when you kind of look at some of the minutes guys are logging, you feel good, groups conditioned, health-wise, feel really good about kind of this final stretch here?
Well, I mean, in the ideal world, I wish we had a few more bodies, and I think there's a chance we could get Sharif Mitchell back, at least on a limited basis tomorrow, which would help. But the reality of it is, you know, Marcus, Tyshawn, and Mitch in particular, they've played these minutes really all season, and I think they're accustomed, and I think their body is used to playing those kind of minutes. And, you know, the reality of it is you have so many miles that these guys can be on their feet and be running in a week's time. And, if they play more in a game, you have to limit their practice time. And, you know, if we were fortunate enough to have 9 or 10 deep and guys aren't playing more than 25 or 6 minutes a game, then you could practice a little bit more. But, you know, we've been forced as a coaching staff to cut those minutes back of the practice floor to make sure our guys are fresh for game night.
Head coach Greg McDermott joining us here on AM 590. The Jays taking on DePaul tomorrow night, 6:30 at the CHI Health Center. Coach, appreciate you jumping on. Best of luck tomorrow.
I appreciate it, Nick.
That is head coach again, Greg McDermott, in a big matchup for the Jays. And we mentioned also a big week coming up, too, where they'll be on the road taking on Marquette, then back home against Butler. So it is a great stretch for the Jays to really kind of get even more postseason ready. And, again, still kind of looking at the top spot in the Big East. It's very much within reach for Creighton. When we come back, it'll be Bounce from Channel 94.1 and TJ to take you home. They'll do some bouncing around and also give you what's on tap. Don't forget Husker baseball in about a half hour or so. Greg Sharp and myself out in Waco, Texas at the Baylor Ballpark. We'll be talking to you soon on AM 590.
Around bouncing, bouncing around, bouncing around, 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 bouncing around, bouncing around.
Ah, yes, it's that time.
Bouncing around, bouncing around, bouncing,
bouncing around.
Yeah, we don't need Nick for this.
Yeah, we don't. He's getting ready for Husker baseball, man.
Yeah, we got baby. He's focused down there in Waco. He doesn't need us.
Yeah, he's got to start getting ready for that old broadcast. Greg Sharp, season start. How are you feeling about Husker baseball being here February 14th, ready to roll? Are you ready?
I am. I think it's exciting. But also, I was telling Nick the other day, am I going to know any of these players? Because I feel like with Husker basketball, it's taken me a couple broadcasts to understand who is who. It just doesn't feel like the same team because I'm listening in the radio and I'm hearing Pavelka talk and he came back like at the beginning of the season, like just certain names. I was like, wait, is he with us or is he? Because I was so accustomed
to our side, yeah, okay,
to everything. And so baseball is going to be interesting too. So I'm ready for it. I'm excited. Are you a hater on?
No, I'm excited. The Husker baseball is going. Dude, it's like so cold out. It's middle of February.
That's why they're in Waco.
That's not
DJ. That's why they're in Waco.
I know that's why they're in Waco, but that like there's so much area in this country where it's just not ready to be played baseball.
You
like I'm still in basketball mode. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are in hockey mode. Like
you're basketball. It's basketball.
Like I think Major League Baseball shouldn't start till late April. And I think like college baseball maybe shouldn't start till late March. That's just my opinion. Opinion isn't gonna change anything, but
college baseball isn't gonna affect your afternoons. On the weekends, you know what I mean?
No,
like you're not gonna go out of your way like you might for a basketball. You're not gonna sit down on the couch at 11 o'clock and start watching.
Well,
the
that's part of my reason to
whatever.
start it later once basketball coaster being done. You know,
Major League Baseball. That also, I'm good with where MLB starts.
Okay.
I like that. I think that's a fun. That's springtime. Yes,
late March, early April. Yeah,
yeah. But college baseball to me, it's fun. Yeah, it
starts
obviously,
like a month and a half earlier than pro baseball. It just seems a little crazy.
It was kind of cool because I've never cared about BYU baseball before. But
well,
on
I'm kind of wondering with you. Why would you?
On Twitter, have you seen their stadium? I need you to look.
Okay. I know what phone you're talking about.
It's,
yeah.
It's a cool, and it got me in like, you know what?
So it's not necessarily about BYU baseball. It's just about the cool aesthetic of their background,
yes,
of the mountains.
You know what? You can psychologically tell yourself, you know what? It's summertime. It's spring now with baseball starting. And it's unfortunate. This is a sad confession of mine. About a week ago, I knew college baseball was starting, and I started going through on my Cox cable box, advancing to this weekend. So this was like a week ago, just to see if I could watch any college baseball. I was like, SEC Network's got to have something. ESPNU, give me something.
Well, this weekend
really
series
wasn't.
For Nebraska is on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I don't have ESPN Plus.
Oh. It's only like $5. Plus, also, I'm an ESPN insider, so I think I get it for free because I'm a member of that. But anywho, Husker baseball is going to be a lot different this year. I was reading a preview of the team by Evan Blaine the other day, and I just completely forgot how much pitching overhaul there's going to be. We lost so many guys due to graduation, transfers, and injuries. So there's going to be a lot of new faces when it comes to pitching, but still going to be a lot of similar position players. And I'm kind of with Nick. I feel like some of their rankings have been a bit low in the preseason, saying they're going to be 6th, 7th, or 8th. I still think there's enough talent here to finish top 5 in the Big Ten. And again, I'm always just going to think Big Ten baseball is not going to be impressive.
I mean, Big Ten,
they got
baseball,
4 teams in the NCAA tournament last year, I believe.
It's one of those things with Big Ten baseball. Since we've joined the Big Ten, one year it's Michigan. One year it's Ohio State. The next year, Illinois. And then, oh my gosh, yeah. Then it's Indiana. And then it's Purdue. And then they all fall off from there. So I don't take Big Ten baseball as serious. I think, was Michigan, I think, in the top 25 of one of the preseason?
Yeah, they could have been.
I think it was like Michigan. It's like, okay, put them in there. What are they could be last in the Big Ten for all we know.
Yeah, I mean,
why is that? What is the reasoning behind no sustain? Like the SEC, you consistently have. Big 12, you consistently have. Pac 12, yeah, I mean, you have your powerhouses. But Big Ten, it's like, let's flip a coin. Who wants to be first place this year? That's my opinion of Big Ten baseball.
Well, I think it just all goes back to all the best players are going to go play in the South and the SEC and the Big 12. So you just don't know. Maybe occasionally some of the better players will go to one school in the Big Ten this year compared to the others. It's just maybe depends on what school they pick that year. But yeah, the Big Ten's never going to be a dominant baseball league.
Never will be. Even and when Indiana makes, even when somebody makes the College World Series, they could win it. But you don't take them serious. You know, we're like
But people might root for them because they're the underdog and they're somebody different. And I can see like people grasping towards
that. It's like the AAC in basketball. Like, are you really
the American
taking
Athletic?
Them, yeah. Are you really taking them serious? Is there really any sustainability?
I picked Houston to go to the Final Four or Elite Eight that year that Michigan beat them on a buzzer beater. Houston had Rob Gray. I'm still sour about that.
Have you picked your champion already? Even though the brackets haven't happened yet, you already like in your
but
head?
But I begin formulating. Okay, if this team ends up in this region and has a favorable schedule, I might like them.
Is San Diego State serious? Like that's the team I'm watching.
They beat
right
Creighton
now
by more than 30, and Creighton's a pretty damn good team.
Yeah, that's the team I'm keeping an eye on. But didn't I mean? This
I kind of like
the
Oregon too a little bit this year.
I feel like I've said that for the last couple of years, and it's not a Dana Altman thing. It's just one of those like, Oregon, you're up in the top 10. There you go. And then they get beat by like Baylor. Well, Baylor's really good this year, but I'm saying like they get beat by that team. You're like, oh, didn't see that coming.
Yeah, bouncing just look at that. Around, quickly bounce around from bouncing. Big Ten baseball to the bracketology. Joe Lunardi here.
That's how we do it. Are we going to talk about XFL next? I mean, I'll bounce it around. Nick's not here. I'm in front of this control room right now. So, I mean, we can talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Let's go
right
XFL
now
here. Did you watch it?
I did. I didn't watch every game, but you know what?
Did you watch more than you thought you would?
I watched way more than
that's
I kinda
thought
I
was,
I would
too.
And I was curious, but then I was watching a lot of bad offense, a lot of bad quarterbacks. And then you realize in football, you need the quarterback to be good.
Ain't that the truth?
And was it St. Louis's Tamaui or what? I was watching the St. Louis game just basically because of DeMornay and Brandon Riley. And I was that's my team. And then they're shotgunning beers with their teeth in the locker room. And you didn't see that video? Wow. Like one of them bit the beer can and just started chugging.
For winning a regular season game, huh?
Caveman stuff. It was great. Yeah, for winning a regular season. But how many? That's the thing. You know, the rules are different. I don't even know how many teams there are. How
there's
the
eight
playoff? Is there eight? How do the playoffs work?
10 weeks regular season, then there's playoffs.
Does everybody make the playoffs? Is this like a participation?
I would hope not. I'd hope the regular season at least meant something.
You could be winless and make the playoffs. I guess I haven't paid that close attention.
I'd assume if there's eight teams, half get in the playoffs.
It's fun, but the quarterbacks, you need a quarterback. Landry Jones didn't even play, and it's like, okay, I know that name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of nice in the broadcast how they would consistently say, so-and-so out of Missouri, so-and-so out of...
Yeah, that helps.
In your head, I don't know where that player came
from. Yeah, because there's a lot of guys you still don't know, but it helps. No. Like, okay, that guy played at South Carolina. Okay, I remember watching him on College Football Saturdays.
My only complaint was I felt like everybody talked over each other. So the broadcasters are talking, and then they would mic up the refs for like a penalty, and then they would go to somebody else. And it was like everybody just talked over each other. And Pat McAfee is a godsend.
Yeah, he's a delight.
He is just, he should be on everything. But it was like, okay, everybody's just talking over each other. That was kind of bothersome, but
yeah, I thought it was really cool that when things were getting replayed, they would put the camera on the replay official and also mic him up, and you could hear his thoughts like, okay, is that going to be a catch or not? And he's just going back and forth watching it, and you're like, whoa, okay, so we're getting inside view of this. I think that's pretty cool.
I didn't, yeah, that was very cool. I didn't like the being able to, being able to hear the coaches like calling the plays, because one, it was distracted because they were talking over the announcers, and the announcers probably had no idea that they were cutting to that. So they were finishing their statement, and then you got, you know, Chuck Long calling his play, and you can't understand what's going on. And I felt like they called the same plays. Like, I feel like they've kept it very basic on stuff.
Yes.
But why would you want that? If you're on the other team, like, why would you say, can they hear that in the, can the defensive coordinator be like, I hear what they're doing, let's do this?
I saw one headline where Jim Zorn, who's the head coach of one of the teams, was he said he was absolutely shocked that the TV was broadcasting his play calls. And
well, you could see they had the game on. Like, if you angle it, they had the game on the ESPN broadcast.
Part of me is like, how could they have not told you that was going to happen and be part of the broadcast? Because they're trying to make this so much more different and entertaining than the NFL. Because they just need to grasp people right now.
Which
they did week one. And I think the ratings will still be good for week two, kind of like it was in the AFF. But then after that, it really just fell off. Now, I still think this has more sustaining power because it's broadcasted on legit networks like ABC, ESPN, Fox, FS1.
The platform they've done is fantastic.
So I actually think this whole season is going to work out. Mm-hmm. It's just after that.
I agree. But no, that was my gripe, was hearing the coaches call the plays. I don't like it.
Didn't like it. Okay. And that's how do you remember Creighton and Xavier?
Yes, I watched that game.
So
I made my fiance and daughter watch that game. They could care less. Well, Riley, she likes basketball.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is so cool. This is great. This is awesome.
That's what I had been wanting for like 10 years. It was a set of commentators. Let's just like have HBO mic up all these guys so we can hear all this trash talk going on and all this cursing.
It's so fun.
And just hear the coaches. And as it went on, and granted, they only mic'd up the two head coaches.
Yep.
So that's kind of all we got. At times, I loved it. I was like, dude, I am in the huddle right now. This is awesome. I'm giving here stuff. But at times, I'm like, oh, I kind of miss a little bit of the, like,
the banter, but the actual broadcast.
Yeah,
of
the commentary.
I think it was Kugler was on the call.
It was Kugler and Nick Bond. Yeah. It was the easiest check they've ever made in their life.
Oh, yeah.
They barely had to talk that game.
They work well together, too.
They work well together.
That was kind of the unfortunate thing. Get the D-list.
So I wasn't sure if it was just like, okay, do I not like this because I'm not used to this yet, or do I not like this because I actually don't like it and it's not as cool as I thought. But at times, I thought it was still really cool, and it's different. And also, sometimes when I'm at home watching sports, and I'll do this especially during baseball season, but I even did it the other night, I just listen to podcasts while I'm watching sports. So I just mute the TV and I listen to the sports podcast while I'm watching a NBA game or MLB game.
I find myself not tuning out when you hear a specific announced team. Like, if it's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, you're like, that's a good announced team.
Oh, yeah,
if it's Kevin Burkhardt or someone like that, you know, Joe Buck, I'm fine with Joe Buck. But
I am too. I don't understand the hate.
I don't understand the hate on that either, but it's fun. You hear that. It's almost a nostalgic voice from your childhood growing up because they've done it for so many years. You want to hear that. Bill Walton, you never want to mute Bill Walton. We talked about that earlier. Never mute Bill Walton. Leave him on. He's uncomfortable.
It's like watching
an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but you're watching a basketball game because it's uncomfortable and you never know where it's going to go. But I never find myself really tuned. I guess there are a couple announcers I do tune out for. And depending on like a Husker game, but I've never muted the TV and listened to something else. I like to have that.
Are you going to tune in for another week here? Is this a plan long thing where you're going to do for the season?
I'm going to.
You mentioned you're a. What's been happening in my group text with my friends is they say they're day one. They're day oneers. They're the Battle Hawks, whatever, St. Louis fans. Yeah. That's their team. They've been here since day one and they're ready. Like, and I just kind of laugh at them. Like,
again, they're bringing the. I love the commentary. I love the announcers that they brought. Fox brought their great ones. ESPN and ABC, they brought their the heavy hitters, and it's fun to listen to and it's fun to watch up until you realize that the score is 9-3 in the fourth quarter. That's, you're like, okay, Vegas had all these over-unders at like 50s and, you know, how do you even judge a point spread? You don't know what you're actually getting, but it's just, it's background noise. So for me, I guess if I were to mute something, if I were to mute a game, it would be XFL. and just have it on in the background, or just background
noise.
But not if
it's Pat McAfee, right?
You know, if me, not Pat McAfee, I will never mute him. That is a sin. but it is one of those things where, say, me and the fiance were playing a game of Phase 10 or Uno, and it's just background noise, and it's just like, I like that. That's where I'm at with the XFL.
All right. Okay, that's fair enough. All right, so we just bounced around on a ton of topics there. Coming up next, we'll tell you what's on tap to end the show. This is the Nick Hanley Show, without Nick Hanley right now, on ESPN AM 590. All right, final segment here on the Nick Hanley Show. Nick is prepping for the Husker baseball game against Baylor. That's going to get started here about 6, maybe 6:05 pregame going. So Husker baseball season about to get underway here. But before we get there, it's time for What's on Tap, presented by Cunningham's Pub and Grill. I'm a huge fan of Cunningham's blueberry sriracha wings. I know Nick says nobody can finish that mac and cheese burger. Well, not nobody, but a lot of people.
I'm telling you, I could. Every time he talks about it, yep. I crave the mac and cheese burger. I got to do it.
I just got to get down there and eat that thing. That's what I got to do. All right, what's on tap this night? Well, if you like small college basketball, you're talking mid-major level, boy, does ESPN got you covered, because at 6 o'clock, ESPN News, Yale at Princeton bounce.
On ESPN News?
Yeah.
Wow.
ESPNU, 6 o'clock, Akron at Central Michigan University. 6 o'clock ESPN Plus, you got IUPU taking on Northern Kentucky.
IUPUI.
No.
Left out. Is it an IUPUI? I see IUPUI.
I see IUPU.
I poo. I don't know.
And then 8 o'clock ESPN2. I'm assuming that's going to be UC Riverside taking on Wright State.
You know what we need to do? I think we just need UIC, is that? Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that Illinois-Chicago? This is a fun game. Yeah, I think it is. This is a fun game, deciphering what these... Can we just talk about tomorrow? I mean, there's much more tomorrow, too.
Okay, yeah, we'll get there. ESPN Plus tonight, hockey, 6 o'clock, Montreal at Pittsburgh, and then ESPN Plus, 6 o'clock, the New York Rangers at the Columbus Blue Jackets, I do believe. But yeah, we were talking XFL. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, ABC.
Yeah, there we go.
New York at DC. 4 o'clock, Tampa Bay at Seattle. And I'm purposely leaving out the mascots because I'm not for sure what they are.
Really? Oh, you're not a diehard. Get out.
You know what New York is on top of your head?
Defenders? No.
Yeah, see, that's DC Defenders. That's what I thought.
Is that DC?
2 o'clock Sunday, Dallas at LA, ABC.
Avengers.
And then Sunday, 5 o'clock, FS1, St. Louis at Houston.
I'm distracted now. I'm trying to figure out what their mascot is.
Oh my gosh. ESPN doesn't even have home pages for these teams. I can't tell what mascot it is. See, that's why I still think this league isn't going to make it.
Seattle has a dragon, I think. I know that much.
Yeah. Or the Tampa Bay Vipers, I can tell you that.
I think it's DC Defenders and then Seattle.
I think you're right.
And then Battlehawks, only because we've established them as being the Husker home fan base, if you will.
Then tomorrow you got Husker men's basketball.
Oh yeah, Wisconsin.
Pregame will start 12:15 here on AM 590. Then 1:15, I believe, is when tip-off is set. Hosting Wisconsin.
Are you going?
I am planning to go. Yes, I will be in attendance. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Making the trek down from Omaha, huh?
I'm gonna do it. Love me some Husker basketball.
This is one of the two games remaining, I think, where the Huskers gonna win. Just because Wisconsin losing Kobe King, and then just Huskers playing at home. And then, obviously, the senior day against Northwestern, because Northwestern's actually worse in the standings than Nebraska.
That will be embarrassing. Yeah, we have to. We cannot be last in the Big Ten. I will be very, very sad.
Yeah,
and I love the Big Ten tweeting out all of the season ended today. This is who you're playing. And it's like, just don't let us be Northwestern.
Yeah, I think Nebraska should be able to stay above Northwestern.
But they're fun to watch. Watching that Maryland game... I don't want, like every other Husker fan, well, we can do it, we can do it. There's a different vibe. As they continue to grow, we just have to accept this year as an L. Like, that's just all you can do. It's kind of like when Frost came in. It's a whole big rebuild, bunch of new players, bunch of new stuff. We're not in any big hurry with basketball like we would be with football, so let Hoiberg do what he's doing. That was a fun game to watch, that Maryland game. I did not see us coming back at all. It was kind of just...
Yeah. That was impressive to hang with them.
Normally you would quit. Like, normally players quit at that point.
And yeah, that's so it's kind of refreshing. Especially during an eight-game losing streak. So
So you see the record, and it's embarrassing, and it's it's horrible.
The season's necessary evil. I think they're going to have a pretty good bounce-back season next year. 4:30 on Sunday, Omaha Mavs hosting Denver. And then Saturday, 6:30, Fab Fest 1, 22nd, 23rd-ranked Creighton is hosting DePaul Bounce.
DePaul. You know what's fun?
DePaul.
I like those nostalgic teams when I grew up. And, you know, DePaul wasn't Dayton. Now seeing Dayton be good again.
Yeah, Obi Toppin.
I love seeing, you know, I remember when St. John's was really good. I know that's not good for Creighton if St. John's becomes really good. But that was a team.
I miss the old Big East.
Nostalgic for me.
That isn't, Jerry McNamara run in the Big East tournament.
Isn't UConn, am I making this up? Did I not see this right? Is UConn coming back to the Big East in basketball?
Or was that sounding familiar.
Why did I think that?
Yeah, that's kind of sounding familiar.
But I wanted to say, that'd be fun to have UConn. That's a nostalgic, even though they're not good anymore, but
I think it was that time bounce where it's time for us to start heading out here. Again, Husker baseball coming up. Nick Hanley, Greg Sharp on the call for that one. Husker baseball is back in our lives, so you can check out them. First game of the season tonight, taking on Baylor. And Baylor, remember, they had all those hazing incidents where they had to suspend some players, so could play into Nebraska's favor. I'm TJ Henning for Bounce from Channel 94.1. This has been the Nick Hanley Show. We will talk to you on Monday. See ya.